Let's directly go to House Resolution 380, the Articles of Impeachment. I have provided each of you with a copy of that. Whereas on November 14, 2013, Governor Nixon issued Executive Order 1314, which orders the Missouri Department of Revenue to require all taxpayers who file a joint federal income tax return to file a combined state income tax return, including same-sex couples married in a state that authorizes such marriages who file joint federal income tax returns. And on August 3, 2004, the people of this state overwhelmingly adopted Article 1, Section 33 of the Missouri Constitution. Section 33 states, "To be valid and recognized in this state, a marriage shall only exist between a man and a woman." And whereas Section 143.031 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri, it authorizes only a husband and wife to file a Missouri state combined income tax return. In total, it says, a husband and wife who file a joint federal income tax return shall file a combined return. A husband and wife who do not file a joint federal income tax return shall not file a combined return. And Section 143.091, also of Missouri Tax Code, sets forth the requirements for the meaning of terms within Missouri's income tax statutes. It states that any term used in Section 143.011 through the rest of the tax section shall have the same meaning as when used in a comparable context in the laws of the United States relating to federal income taxes. Important part here. Unless a different meaning is clearly required by the provisions of Missouri's tax code. Furthermore, Governor Nixon, in citing only a portion of the language in Section 143.091 in Executive Order 1314, knowingly omitted a key phrase in that statutory language conditioning the use of federal meaning of terms on whether a different meaning is clearly required by the provisions of Missouri's tax code. And the governor, with a blatant and complete disregard for the will of the people of this state expressed in the adoption of Article 1, Section 33 of the Missouri Constitution, and predicated on knowing omission of key statutory language, concluded in Executive Order 1314 that the Department of Revenue under Section 143.091 must apply the same meaning to the phrase husband and wife as is applied under federal law, pursuant to Federal Revenue Ruling 2013-17. And because the statutory laws of the state of Missouri are clearly subject to the provisions of Missouri Constitution and therefore must be interpreted in a manner consistent with and not in contradiction to the provisions of Missouri Constitution, and because to the extent that a statutory provision cannot be interpreted in a manner consistent with and not in contradiction to the Missouri Constitution, such statutory provision is constitutionally unenforceable. Whereas requiring the filing of a combined state income tax return by same-sex couples, which results in a recognition of same-sex marriage by the state of Missouri, is not consistent with and is completely contrary to Article 1, Section 33 of Missouri Constitution. And whereas knowingly omitting a key phrase of statutory language in Executive Order 1314 and knowingly failing to acknowledge the will of the people as expressed in Article 1, Section 33, Governor Nixon misstates and misrepresents the meaning and requirements under Missouri's Constitution and statutory law, and thereby misleads the citizens of this state by asserting that Missouri must allow the filing of combined state income tax returns by same-sex couples. And whereas Executive Order 1314, which orders the Department of Revenue to require same-sex couples legally married in a state that authorizes such marriages to file a combined Missouri state income tax return, based only on a portion of the language in Section 143.091, and which omits the language of the statute which prohibits such an order, it is a direct violation of Article 1, Section 33 of the Missouri Constitution, which prohibits the state of Missouri from recognizing any marriage not between a man and a woman. Article 4, Section 2 of Missouri Constitution states that the governor shall take care that the laws are distributed and faithfully executed, and shall be a conservator of the peace throughout the state. And because Governor Nixon, in issuing Executive Order 1314, breached his constitutional duty under Article 4, Section 2 of the Missouri Constitution to take care that the laws be distributed and faithfully executed, Governor Nixon violated Article 7, Section 1, and he is liable for impeachment under Article 7, Section 1. Whereas Governor Nixon's breach of his constitutional duties to distribute and faithfully execute the laws of the state by issuing executive order in direct contradiction and violation of Article 1, Section 33, is grounds for impeachment. And under Article 7, Section 2, the Constitution vests the sole power of impeachment in the House of Representatives. And then it is more fully set forth, which I will not read, the two direct charges of impeachment based upon those propositions. So the question is, did Missouri's governor, Jay Nixon, violate Missouri's Constitution and violate the statutes of Missouri? Again, the Constitution is clear. Article 1, Section 33, that to be valid and recognized in this state, a marriage shall exist only between a man and a woman. Not only is the Constitution clear, but Missouri's law is clear. RSMO 451.022, it is the public policy of this state to recognize marriage only between a man and a woman. Any purported marriage not between a man and a woman is invalid. Subsection 3, no recorder shall issue a marriage license except to a man and a woman. Subsection 4, a marriage between the persons of the same sex will not be recognized for any purpose in this state, even when valid where contracted. Furthermore, Missouri Statute 143031, a husband and wife, and we've previously read this, who file a joint return, a joint federal income tax return, shall file a combined return. It should be noted that husband and wife is a condition precedent, a condition that must exist beforehand to file a Missouri combined return. You must be a husband and wife in order to file a Missouri combined return under Missouri law. Because under Missouri's Constitution and under Missouri's law, only a man and a woman are considered married, and a marriage between same-sex persons will not be recognized for any purpose, that section, which has the condition precedent of husband and wife to file a combined return, may not be interpreted to include a husband and wife of the same sex. So it's clear what Missouri law is. It's clear what limits Missourians have put on marriage in their constitution. It is the people's constitution. It is the people's limits on their government, and that includes the governor. So we have to look at what happened at the federal level. In 2013, the United States Supreme Court decided the case of U.S. v. Windsor. It's a 5-4 decision with three vigorous dissenting opinions. The Supreme Court did and did not do certain things in that decision. What the Supreme Court did was, the Supreme Court of the United States in that case struck down portions of DOMA, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. Here's what the Supreme Court did not do. The Supreme Court did not strike down state constitutional or statutory definitions of marriage. As a matter of fact, the court repeatedly emphasized in its ruling, which you have in your packet, that marriage was for each state to decide for itself. For instance, the court stated, quote, that each state as a sovereign has a rightful and legitimate concern in the marital status of persons domiciled within its borders. And further, the court said that the definition of marriage is the foundation of the state's broader authority to regulate that subject of domestic relations with respect to the protection of marriage. And finally, the court said the whole subject of domestic relations of husband and wife, parent and child, belongs to the United States and not to the laws of the United States. It belongs to the laws of the individual states, not the United States. After Windsor struck down DOMA, the Internal Revenue Service issued ruling 2013-17, which controls federal tax issues only. So let's be clear about this IRS ruling, since the governor cited it in his executive order. The IRS has no authority to change Missouri tax law, and ruling 2013-17 did not change Missouri tax law. The IRS certainly had no power to do so, and it did not change Missouri's constitution. The IRS ruling will allow but not require the filing of federal joint tax return by same-sex couples. So in response to the federal change, what did Governor Nixon do? He seized power that the people had not given him and issued an executive order that was unconstitutional and illegal. Executive Order 13-14. That is included also in your packet. Executive Order 13-14, issued by the governor of the state of Missouri, Governor Jay Nixon, states that the Supreme Court's decision in the United States v. Windsor case, the Internal Revenue Service, after such a ruling, issued Revenue Ruling 2013-17, which in it announced that for federal tax purposes, the terms spouse, husband and wife, husband and wife individually, include an individual married to a person of the same sex if the individuals are lawfully married under state law, and the term marriage includes such a marriage between individuals of the same sex. The governor further stated that the Internal Revenue Service has announced that in Revenue Ruling 2013-17, same-sex couples legally married in a state that authorizes such marriages, regardless of their place of domicile, may file a joint federal income tax return. He further states that the tax code of Missouri is coupled to the federal tax code, and Missouri tax filers are required to utilize information from the federal tax return when completing the Missouri state income tax return. Then he states the law, section 143.031.1, and he quotes it as saying, it mandates that a husband and wife who file a joint federal tax return shall file a combined state tax return. He further quotes section 143.091 in part, stating that any term used in sections 143.011 to 143.996, which is Missouri's tax code, shall have the same meaning as when used in a comparable context in the laws of the United States relating to federal income taxes. Again, he omitted important language from that section. Then the governor went on to state that the Department of Revenue under section 143.091 must apply the same meaning to the phrase husband and wife as applied under federal law pursuant to the revenue ruling. Finally, he states that married individuals, including same-sex couples legally married in a state that authorizes such marriages, who file a joint federal income tax return, must file a combined tax return with the state of Missouri, a clear misstatement of the law. He then orders, by the virtue of authority vested in him by the Constitution and the state and the laws of the state of Missouri, that he orders the Missouri Department of Revenue to follow sections 143.031 and 143.091, and require all taxpayers who properly file a federal joint income tax return to file a combined state income tax return. Governor Nixon knowingly makes the false claim that the IRS ruling 2013-17 mandates same-sex couples file a combined return in Missouri and willfully misstates the law in Missouri. Governor Nixon willfully ignored omitted language and violated a section of law that disallows following definitions in federal law when a different meaning is clearly required by Missouri tax law. After knowingly and willfully misstating the law, the governor then orders the Department of Revenue to violate Missouri's Constitution and Missouri's laws. Well, why is this a problem? Because the governor has a duty to faithfully execute the law. Again, Missouri's constitution requires that the governor shall take care that the laws are distributed and faithfully executed and shall be a conservator of the peace throughout the state. When a governor willfully violates the law and the constitution, he must be held to account. This power must be checked. Again, Missouri's constitution says all elected executive officials in this state and judges of the Supreme Court, courts of appeals, and circuit courts shall be liable to impeachment for crimes, misconduct, habitual drunkenness, willful neglect of duty, corruption in office, incompetency, or any offense involving moral turpitude or oppression in office. So, we must ask ourselves, did Governor Nixon knowingly misstate the law and attempt to mislead Missourians? Did Governor Nixon willfully violate Missouri's Constitution and Missouri's law? And in so doing, did the governor of Missouri willfully neglect his duty and commit misconduct in office? The answer is, of course he did. He usurped the people and their authority to determine their constitution and their restraints on their government. This is the people's government. How else can this be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, if when the people overwhelmingly say that the constitutional limits that they put into place are to be obeyed? In this case, the people said by a 70% margin that the government of Missouri will not recognize a marriage except between a man and a woman. They put it in their constitution and said, this is the supreme law. You, our government, and that includes the governor, must follow it. This was the people's decision that they put in their constitution to restrain us. The indisputable fact is that Governor Nixon knowingly and willfully ignored the people's constitutional prohibition on recognizing same-sex marriage. He knowingly and willfully violated Missouri's law, and he knowingly and willfully issued an unconstitutional and illegal executive order. The governor has no power to change Missouri's constitution, and he has no power to change Missouri's law. The people have the sole power to change their constitution, and the people, in addition to retaining the right to a petition initiative, gave only we, the legislature, the power to change Missouri law, not the governor. So here's the real question. Since the question as to whether or not he violated the constitution and Missouri law is so clear, of course he did. The real question is, what are we, the people's representatives, going to do about it? What are we going to do about the governor's blatant usurpation of power in violation of Missouri's Constitution? That question is posed to this committee. What are we going to do about it? This committee is made up of mostly attorneys, of members seeking judicial office, of law enforcement members, of members that have voted in constitutional elections. We sit on the Judiciary Committee. Will we not defend the rule of law? Will we not follow through on our oath to defend Missouri's Constitution? It's only we, the House of Representatives, who may impeach. The people made it our responsibility to hold the other branches accountable to be a check on abuse of power. The fact is, the plain yet hard truth is that we must make a decision right now as to whether we will follow our duty and uphold our oath to the people. And that's my presentation, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Marshall. Let me discuss the Article 7, Section 1. It appears to me there are several grounds for impeachment as described by our Constitution. Let me just eliminate the things that I don't think you're accusing the governor of in your resolution. First of all, it appears you're not accusing him of a commission of a crime. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. obviously not habitual drunkenness, obviously you're not accusing of incompetence, corruption in office. Is that probably correct?
The charges do not accuse corruption in office, no.
Okay. And oppression in office, not specifically that.
Not specifically.
Okay.
It would qualify, I believe, but it's not
right,
charged.
Right, right. Okay.
I think this committee has the authority to amend this resolution.
Certainly. Okay. Let me first of all deal with your premise of the action of the governor. I would agree that his legal analysis is absolutely and blatantly wrong. I mean, I would suspect, I don't normally attribute motivations for people's actions, but I would suspect that he believed there was some political benefit to making such a ruling, even though there is no basis in law. And he supports it by a bunch of gobbledygook legalese sort of sounding things that sort of sound good, but as you point out, took it out of context by not including all the words. So apparently I'm agreeing with you as to his legal analysis. I don't know, maybe the rest of the group agrees with you or not, but let me move beyond that. I guess there were two arguments that could be made, and maybe I'll address the easiest one first, and I think you kind of implicitly talked about this. Specifically, you've alleged misconduct and willful neglect of duty. The misconduct that Constitution maybe deals with is, at least in this context, is something done intentionally. Don't you suspect that?
I do.
Yeah, it's not an accidental act.
No.
It would not be. Let's say the governor, in his analysis, was incompetent in rendering a legal opinion, for example. Would that rise to the level of an impeachable offense if he just was a horrible student of the law? Because he is a lawyer, I know. But
while not charged, it certainly does rise to the level of impeachment, because the framers of our Constitution inserted that as one of the conditions for impeachment. Incompetency is listed.
Right. Specifically, you haven't accused incompetency, but that would be grounds
because I don't believe it was a mistake.
Right. You've alleged it based upon what you thought was the circumstances.
The fact is, mm-hmm. Governor Nixon served, I believe, 16 years as the Attorney General of the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. Governor Nixon knows how to read Missouri statutes. He knows what Missouri's law is.
Do you think maybe he has counsel to advise him on these kind of things, too, possibly?
I believe he has a number of attorneys on staff,
okay.
Yes.
I guess the next question that I have, assuming that it is an intentional act, assuming your analysis is correct, that it rises to a level of misconduct or to willful neglect of duty, maybe even as to the uncharged portions in regard to incompetency, if a governor does those things intentionally, what remedies do the other branches of government have short of removal from office through the process of impeachment? In this case, in the committee's regard of making a probable cause determination, what other alternatives are available?
Well, certainly that the judicial branch has the authority to review an executive order and to issue a writ of prohibition that it not go into mm-hmm. effect. And I believe some members of some citizens in Missouri have filed such an action before the judiciary.
Okay, so I understand.
To take a judicial
I understand
action.
The same. There is some lawsuits or a lawsuit filed at least
certainly.
One on this. This body and the legislature, the House in particular. What other alternatives do we have other than through the lawsuit?
Well, I have not read in Missouri's Constitution, if you're suggesting a censure, I have not
Or anything that you know of.
I believe it could be implicit, and this is totally up to, I believe, unless we request in our charging document, which we have not done, that there is authority for something other than removal from office. Certainly, the Constitution limits it to removal from office. Now, the question is that the only thing that can be done upon the conviction from impeachment or upon impeachment? I don't know.
So what you're saying is we could criticize the governor if we chose to.
As a result of conviction of impeachment, I suppose we could pass a resolution. The question or not, the question is whether or not that's appropriate.
Right.
When you have a governor that is a trained attorney, that knows the law, that spent years as Missouri's attorney general, knowingly ignores Missouri's constitution and does the exact opposite of what is required under Missouri's constitution and under Missouri's law, what do you do as a branch of government that is sworn to protect the rights of its citizens? And part of swearing to uphold Missouri's constitution is to check the other branches of government when they become oppressive, when they violate the restrictions on their power.
Okay. Are there questions from other members of the committee? Representative.
To inquire?
Please.
We have these other lawsuits out there right now. Is that correct, in the civil system?
I know of one lawsuit.
Okay. And the thing I wonder about is, I understand your legal analysis and your argument here today, the governor did something wrong. And but in the event that the courts find in that civil proceeding that he hasn't done something wrong, wouldn't it be inconsistent then for us to have impeached him and the courts to have found that the underlying act was not illegal or wrong?
If the courts find that Governor Nixon's executive order was not in violation of Missouri law and we have impeached him, yes, that would be inconsistent. We will not have been doing anything which we have not been given the authority to do. In other words, we are acting within our responsibility and our duty as a separate, equal branch of government, which has a responsibility and a duty to uphold Missouri's constitution and to enforce the limits of that constitution upon the other branches. It is specifically stated and important in our system of government that the branches check each other. And my proposition is when you have a branch which exceeds its authority knowingly, willfully, and it's not even a question of muddled law. It's clear. Missouri's Constitution says we shall not recognize marriage between other than a man and a woman. And the governor has done the exact opposite. Now, he has claimed in his executive order that he's constrained to do so under federal law, but that is patently false. He is not constrained to do so. The Supreme Court of the United States, nor has any other court, struck down Missouri's constitutional Article 1, Section 33. They have not struck down the statutory provisions under Missouri's tax code. So those are the rule of law and the law of the land here in Missouri, and they must be faithfully executed by the governor, and he has refused to do so. As a matter of fact, he has blatantly done the opposite. And so the question is, what do we do as the people's representatives to remedy that? Do we wait for the courts to strike down his executive order? Or do we take upon ourselves to do our duty? The fact is that the courts do not have the authority to remove him from office. They can strike down and issue a writ of prohibition on his executive order, but they can't remove him from office. My argument is this is such a serious, blatant violation of Missouri's constitution and Missouri's law that the governor must be removed from office.
I'm wondering, what is the pressing issue that we proceed right now rather than wait to see what the court's determination is?
Because you have a governor that is continuing, and as you are aware, my resolution is not the only resolution that's been filed calling for the impeachment of the governor. He has repeatedly violated Missouri's constitution and Missouri's law, and he has done so aggressively since he was reelected. You know, there's an argument out there of how can we remove a governor that the people have put into place. It's true that the people overwhelmingly elected this governor, but they elected him to do his duty as constrained under the Constitution, and that's to faithfully execute the laws. I would posit to you that the people did not elect him to disobey the Constitution. The people did not elect him to execute executive orders which were illegal.
You're talking about overreaching of other branches of the government. And in the event that the courts would side with the governor's position, we would then have a situation where we've got two branches versus our opinion if we impeach him. And that's what I'm trying to get at, like, as far as your position. Are you saying that we're neglectful in our duties as legislators if we don't proceed with this right now? I mean,
yes.
I'm trying to get to what is the crux of the timing on this?
I believe we are, because the people have given us the House of Representatives, are the only ones that hold the power to remove the governor from office through impeachment. And so it falls upon us. It's our duty to do it. And while the courts will never issue advisory opinions, they're not going to come out on their front steps across the street and say, we're going to wait to see what you guys do. I guarantee you, though, that they are. They have not moved on the case. They are not going to move on this case and issue a final ruling as long as we have pending impeachment resolutions. Because you know a court will not insert itself into a political decision. They hate that. And so because we have articles of impeachment pending, and because it is our duty under the Constitution to remove him from office, my guess, obviously they can't tell us they're doing this, but my guess is they're waiting to see what we do.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
You're
essentially asserting that the courts aren't going to do anything. They're not going to do their job have these pending.
Well, you're an attorney. You know as well as I do that courts don't like to get in the middle of political frays.
I understand that, but that's a pretty strong assertion against our courts.
I don't think it's an assertion against the courts. It's a statement of fact, or a presumption, I should say.
Any other questions of the bill sponsor, resolution sponsor, Representative Colonna? Yes.
Now it works. Okay. Gentlemen, I was taking notes during your testimony, and actually I'm glad you provided us with these binders. It reminds me of what we used to do for a moot court competition or our appellate court briefings in law school, which really kind of drove home one or two of the tenets that some of our colleagues here have brought up, that some of us think this is an issue that's better dealt with in the courts. I mean, the fact that you prepared this for me like a legal brief, even though I didn't get it a month ahead of time to review, to dispute, again, makes me feel as if I'm in a courtroom instead of in an impeachment fact-finding hearing. But, again, you've given me the tools that I needed to help me try and figure out what's going on here. I went to Executive Order 13-14, and your allegation is that the governor has, usurped his power and authority by recognizing same-sex marriage in Missouri, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'm trying to find the language in this Executive Order 1314, which allows same-sex couples in Missouri to go to the clerk and have a marriage certificate issued. Is it in here?
No.
Okay. Is there anything in here in Executive Order 13-14 that would allow folks legally married in the state of Illinois that move to Missouri, who are a same-sex couple, to get a Missouri marriage license from a clerk somewhere?
No.
Okay. So what you're doing is sharing with us your opinion that this executive order somehow, through the back door, embraces same-sex marriage?
No, not through the back door. Through the front door, brazenly.
But wouldn't you agree, gentlemen, through the front door, brazenly, would say, Susie and Sally can go down to the circuit court of the city of St. Louis and have their marriage license issued after I sign this executive order?
Well, Representative, you would have to deny that husband and wife have nothing to do with marriage in order to...
I'm not talking about the religious institution. I'm talking about our civil institution of marriage. I mean, let's be frank.
Right.
This isn't an issue to be debated here today, but the civil institution of marriage is a relationship sanctioned by the state, right?
Right.
Okay. So let's move off this whole marriage man-woman. We're talking about a civil definition, okay?
Agreed.
Since I don't see anything in this resolution that specifically acknowledges a same-sex marriage.
It does acknowledge a same-sex marriage.
We'll have to agree to disagree, and the members of the committee can help us sort it out at the end of the day.
Husband and wife not imply a marriage?
Once again, gentlemen, I am reading this executive order. I'm trying to tell my constituents in St. Louis City where they can go to get their marriage license if they're a same-sex couple, and this executive order does not tell me where I can tell them to go or how they can do that. I think we can agree, as highlighted by the chairman, that at least this is a disagreement over legal analysis. You read Executive Order 1314 and you see one legal analysis regarding acknowledgement of same-sex marriage. I read it and see a different legal analysis of same-sex marriage. We can agree to that, correct?
No.
We can't.
No. What you see as a different legal analysis is a blatant violation of Missouri's Constitution and Missouri's law. A defendant cannot walk into the courtroom and say to the jury, I have a different analysis of this criminal statute than you do.
Thank you for discrediting my legal analysis or point of view regarding this executive order. What you have just told me is that my 20 years of practice in law really has no relevancy when it comes to your, I'll pretend it's 30, but it's probably something more like 10. But that's okay. Not a big deal.
Can we split the difference?
We can split the difference. My fear here, gentlemen, and help me out with this, is, and again, I have to take my hat off to the chairman for highlighting a few things in the beginning to phrase the conversation. Because, again, this is a quasi-judicial proceeding. You know, this is a committee staffed by lawyers, and we need to understand what we're really looking for. You've highlighted 2 points from the Missouri Constitution, misconduct and willful neglect of duty. And what I'm trying to figure out is if we move forward with this and we actually do impeach the governor, we're almost saying to folks that if we have a real disagreement as to legal analysis and the governor follows through with, you know, or anyone else, another elected statewide official, follows through with a legal analysis that somebody else disagrees with, that all of a sudden reaches the level of impeachable misconduct or willful neglect of duty. I'm not willing to go there.
Well, you know, like I do, that sometimes statutes are ambiguous. Even sometimes the Constitution is ambiguous. The constitutional provision at question is not ambiguous. The statute
I agree with you, John.
In
I agree
question
with you.
Is not ambiguous. The Windsor case is not ambiguous. The IRS ruling is not ambiguous.
Let's take that one step further. If this were, I don't know, 1950 and we were sitting here, we would say separate but equal is not ambiguous. Prohibition against interracial marriage is not ambiguous. And if you're a governor that has a different legal analysis of that issue, sorry, it's 1950-something, that flawed legal analysis now raises to the level of misconduct and willful neglect of duty as an impeachable offense. That's what I'm hearing from you, gentlemen.
The fact is the Supreme Court had the opportunity to carte blanche, strike down every state constitution that defined marriage as only between a man and a woman. And they specifically did not do so. As a matter of fact, they specifically stated that each state has the sovereignty to decide within its jurisdiction the definition of marriage.
And I can agree with you there, gentlemen. That's why I'm scouring the executive order to see where same-sex marriage is embraced and instructing clerks all across the state of Missouri to issue marriage licenses. I can't find it. And then what that does is it brings me back to the question in my own mind, are we truly debating a political issue here where some folks don't agree with what the governor did. So instead of litigating it like some folks are, we're going to make it a huge political issue and take our eye off the ball and try and go to a hot button issue and say, well, this is an acknowledgement of same-sex marriage. I know it's not in the executive order anywhere. I know people can't have marriage licenses issued. I know folks legally married in Illinois can't be acknowledged in Missouri. But that's what we're going to make this about, because when people hear gay marriage, same-sex marriage, all of a sudden the thought is, oh, my God, that's wrong. We can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it. So we're taking the eye off of the ball from the standpoint of a disagreement between legal analysis, all of a sudden moving it into the political arena of gay marriage or marriage inequality or marriage equality, however you want to phrase it.
I think the evidence that this is not about gay marriage sits behind me with two other resolutions that have been filed explaining that the governor has decided to engage in a course of conduct which is violative of Missouri's constitution and Missouri's law. He's done so repeatedly.
If that theory holds true, then I would argue that each and every one of these different resolutions in and of themselves are not enough. You bring up an interesting argument about federalism, and what does kind of crack me up a little bit here is, I'll move off that, gentleman. You did mention something else that I'm not sure why it was relevant, but perhaps you can help me. You were talking about, again, states having their own constitutional provisions prohibiting same-sex marriage. And once again, you know, the Windsor case didn't overturn those. And there's no reason to believe that those state constitutional provisionals are, in a legal analysis, wrong. But in reality, every single one of the same-sex prohibition constitutional provisions at the state level that have been challenged in a lower federal court have been overturned. What's the significance? The significance is that lends to my argument that this truly is a disagreement over the legal analysis of a Supreme Court ruling. I mean, I don't think, rephrase, it's colorable, in fact, credible for a legal scholar to get up and say, perhaps our Missouri prohibition against same-sex marriage does violate the U.S. Constitution. We didn't think Arkansas's did, but that district court threw it out. We didn't think Utah's did, but that district court threw it out. Now, is it still up for debate? Of course it is. Can those district court rulings be overturned? Of course they can. But again, that lends credibility to the argument that, once again, this is just a disagreement over legal theory and legal philosophy.
You pointed out what was not in Governor Nixon's executive order. Mm-hmm. To me, obviously, what is not in Governor Nixon's executive order is the argument that Missouri's constitution is wrong, or that Missouri's constitutional definition of marriage is now bad law, that it is somehow violative of some constitutional protection. The governor did not state that anywhere in his executive order. Mm-hmm. He just blatantly violated it.
Jim, let me ask you. Again, going back to the order itself and the interpretation of Missouri law. What is it, 143.091? No, that's not it.
Are there other questions to this witness?
Mr. Chairman, I'm almost done.
Okay.
I'm almost done. Your comment was, when you're required, when you file, say, jointly at the federal level, Missouri law says that you have to file, again, not as a married couple in Missouri, but what's the proper phrase, jointly?
Combined return.
Combined, okay. You also say, and you're factually correct, that there's a section in front of that that says if you file as a husband and wife, correct? Okay. And gentlemen, you've been married, right?
Yes.
All right, and you filed joint tax returns, combined tax returns with your wife, correct?
Correct.
When you went to file those tax returns, did you have to provide your marriage certificate?
Did not.
Okay. When you prepared those tax returns, the grounds for which you filed a combined return in Missouri, is it fair to say was based upon your joint return at the federal level?
No.
It wasn't.
Well, in part it was. It was also because...
You've anticipated where I'm going with this.
Sure.
I mean, because again, a disagreement in legal theory.
Sure.
Which shouldn't be an impeachable defense or offense.
No, it's not a dispute of legal theory. What it is whether or not someone can look at their constituents back home, they can look at the people of the state of Missouri, square in the eye, face to face, and say to them, a husband and wife has nothing to do with marriage.
Once again, we're back to the top of the circle, and the chairman has been very kind to allow me to continue this inquiry. So,
thank you, Representative. Any other questions, Representative Kelly?
May I inquire?
Please.
Before, when we were talking about the three branches, I think you correctly pointed out that the court has shown appropriate reticence to enter into a dispute between the judicial or the executive branch and the legislative branch. You agree with that?
Yes.
Reticence being the key there, and reticence by the branches being a fundamental but unwritten foundation upon which our system is based. The reticence to act impulsively. You have a very clear self-directed understanding of the law in this case. You believe absolutely the principles that you assert today, don't you?
The interpretation of the law?
Yes.
Well, sure, I wouldn't have brought the
right articles
if I didn't.
And your interpretation is not something, it's pretty clear from your presentation that you're somewhat absolute about your beliefs.
I'm clear about the interpretation of these statutes and the constitutional provisions.
You think these things are true?
Yes.
In fact, you said that you didn't think before. You thought that they were true. You were asserting their truth, not simply that you believed that they were true. As a matter of fact, that they were true.
If you're talking about Missouri Constitution Article 1, Section 33, and the appropriate sections which were cited in the Articles of Impeachment of Missouri's tax law, yes.
In my experience, I have been in court where I believed absolutely that I was correct, and the people on the other side believed absolutely that they were correct. And sadly, in some of those instances, the courts shared the perception of my opponents, villainous as they were. Has that ever happened to you?
Have I ever been wrong?
No, not only I'm still not wrong about those cases. I'm still right, but the court disagreed with me.
Sure.
That's why we have courts.
There's always one loser and one winner.
That's right. And that's why we have courts, isn't it? To resolve those kinds of legal issues. No one, including you, would assert that this is not a legal issue.
There's no question that the court has authority to issue a writ of prohibition.
That's right.
The executive order.
And I am impressed with your certitude on this. But I think that we might want to consider the concept of reticence, as the vice chairman alluded to before. That is, to consider whether or not it is a legal issue to be resolved first by the courts before we, a much more political branch with much more self-interest in the result, act. Doesn't that seem to make sense given the nature of a limited government?
You would agree, Representative.
Well, let's answer my question. I'm the person asking the questions here. Doesn't it seem to make sense that we would leave the resolution of a legal issue to that branch, which is which we have to resolve legal issues?
I liken this to someone that is caught drunk driving. You have two issues that are parallel. They're based upon the same fact scenario, and yet you have two separate and distinct legal functions going on at the same time. You have criminal charges in court, and you have an administrative hearing, which is going on before an administrative law judge, which is purely administrative. It has no criminal effect. And they are parallel. They're based upon the same fact scenario, but they're not dependent on one another. The court's actions have no effect on the administrative hearing of whether or not someone blew over the legal limit while they were driving, or had a blood alcohol over the legal limit while they were driving. And the administrative action has no effect upon the judicial determination of whether or not someone violated the ordinance or the statute. It's the exact same thing here, where we have an independent, individual, exclusive duty to determine whether or not the governor exceeded his power, usurped authority from the people when they said you may not find marriage between someone other than a man and a woman.
I contend that there is precedent for the action that you urge upon us. The precedent of the legislative branch jumping way out ahead of the judicial branch. And that precedent was personified in the person of Robespierre, who said that slowness to act gives impunity to the tyrant. And look where Robespierre took us. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.